shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, truth is our bitch, funny is her sister. That's where we live. That's where we am at. And we are happy to have you alongside tonight. Colleen Kristen Brewster pays a visit to our show for the first time in many a year. I think, Colleen, the last time we had her on, she was promoting one of her cruises. She had gone off and gotten married, still has her travel agency. And we're going to talk about a Mother's Day cruise, probably one of the more unique Mother's Day cruises that you'll hear about in just a moment. Vernon Dozier is also going to share his thoughts about Mother's Day and what they're planning, or what they were doing, I should say, at Belmar Academy over this past week. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're online at philhendryshow.com. That is the home base of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. If you get a backstage pass, you can watch our show as it is broadcast. You can watch our show as a video cast on Phil TV in HD with the roiling Pacific behind us, the El Pacifico. We're also, of course, making available to you a podcast of our show. We have thousands and thousands of hours of archive material, which is just about complete now, and we will have that all logged. If you have not heard our archives, we now have a brand new site, a porthole, if you will, to our regular show site. It's called philhendryradio.com. We are streaming 3 free hours of the Phil Hendry Show there right now, and we do it 24 hours a day. So there's always going to be Phil Hendry Radio streaming at philhendryradio.com. Check it out. And we're also going to be linking our podcast there. Very exciting news coming up here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 at Shrimps in Laguna Beach. Joining us for the first time, Colleen Kristen Brewster. Colleen, great to talk with you. Been a long time.
It has been too long, Phil, and I'm just smiling from ear to ear talking to you, because you mentioned I got married, and we had a lot of twists and turns over the last few years, but On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, which is the name of our agency, has never missed a step, Phil, and we've always been in business, and we have always been out front, really, in the travel business, and we are excited about our Mother's Day cruise.
Tell me, when you call it On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, you mentioned to me the last time I talked to you, it's the only travel agency named after its owner in that way?
Well, exactly, Phil. When we first opened On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, I said to my partner at the time, who was Dave Shafil, and you know Dave, a wonderful man who's gone up into the travel business himself.
That sounded like Dave Chappelle. We don't want people to think.
No, I wish it was Dave Chappelle. No, Dave Shafil was a schoolmate of mine at University of Cal State Northridge. But when we started the business, I said to Dave that I wanted it to be like a performance. I wanted it to be something that was almost like a TV show that you tuned into, you know, so that when you came into our office and you accessed the entertainment, whether you accessed the travel services that we would provide to you, that it would be very entertaining, that it would be like stepping into a movie theater and enjoying a performance. And that's what we want people to feel, especially with our Mother's Day cruise.
All right, we're going to get to talking about this Mother's Day cruise now, which has a character all its own. And I know this is something that I've been used to when I am talking to you, Colleen. Colleen Kristen Brewster, our guest, folks. She is the owner of On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, a travel agency in Laguna Beach, California. Your signature offerings are generally cruises that you and your partners put together.
Yes, that's exactly right, Phil.
And
it's no different from Easy As She Goes. Easy As She Goes was conceptualized by myself and by Megan Duffy, who was one of our travel partners, one of our cast members. You've heard Disney World and Disneyland use the term cast member for their employees. We like to use the term cast member, too. And Megan Duffy is one of our cast members.
What, when you say you conceived of it, now, Easy As She Goes is the name of the cruise?
That's correct, Phil. Easy As She Goes is the name of our cruise that will be going out of Long Beach on Sunday, and King of the Blue Cruises, which is a brand new cruise line. And the Easy As She Goes cruises was conceptualized by myself and by Megan Duffy, who is one of our cast members.
But tell me what makes this cruise unique.
Well, this is a cruise that is a Mother's Day cruise that honors our mothers, as all Mother's Day cruises will. it honors a lot of the mothers who might not have been the most successful mothers. And when I was talking to Megan, and we were having dinner one night, and I said, you know, and I was very, very honest, and I was very candid with Megan, as I usually am. And I said to her, you know, Megan, my mother was not the best mother in the world. And Megan made a very good point. She said, whose mother really has been the best mother in the world? I said, but my mother, you know. And she knows a lot of the story. And
What was it about, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I don't mind, Phil. My mother was very abusive to the point where I think that a lot of what my mother did to me and to my younger brother might have been criminal in nature. I don't like to focus on it. I want to think of my mother in the best possible ways that I can.
What do you mean criminal?
Oh, you know, using lit cigarettes and to discipline. And
okay, so she was an absolute, she was abusive.
My mother was abusive, though, but I really don't want to get into any kind of ugliness or any kind of discussion about that, because really, I have been able to build my life and my business on the go with Colleen Kristen Brewster as a forward-moving thing. And that's why we also call it On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, because we are moving forward and we're not looking back, and we're making our lives as proactive as we possibly can. And to that extent, Phil, Ben has been with me, my younger brother. He's now in his seventh year with me. Ben has been one of our primary travel agents and has been very good and instrumental.
This is the younger brother who was also...
Yes, Ben was my younger brother, and we both were, you know, subjected to some fairly sadistic treatment. But again, you can either live in the past or you can live in the future. And Ben and I choose to live in the future.
Colleen Kristen Brewster is with us from the On the Go Colleen Kristen Brewster, On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster Travel Agency. This Easy As She Goes Cruises, that's the name of the cruise?
Yes, it is, Phil. That was an idea that Megan and Ben both came up with, Easy As She Goes, where we have our mothers. And again, Phil, to really to give you an idea as to what the cruise is about, the mothers that are going to be on our cruise this Sunday are mothers that were not the most, were not the best mothers in the world. As I said, my own mother is going to be there. They were abusive in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, they were subjected to their own forms of abuse at the hands of their husbands. In a word, they were not the best mothers in the world, but they are our mothers. And
so these are women. Why would they go on a cruise as opposed to being with their families that want to be with them?
Well, in some instances, their families don't want to be with them. In other instances, and I would say, Phil, in most instances, a lot of these family members, the mothers are embarrassed. They don't want to be around the family members because it's just going to turn into them discussing or talking about some of the sadistic things that they did. And to be reminded of those things, a lot of these women just, they really don't want to think about it anymore. So we have this cruise where you can come on board and be with other women who maybe they engaged in some of the same behavior that you engaged in. I don't know. But it's a way to relax on a day, to enjoy a champagne brunch. We're going to take the cruise to Ensenada, and we'll bring it back by late Monday afternoon.
So it's an overnight cruise?
It's an overnight cruise, and we'll have dinner with the captain. There'll be a champagne brunch. And these women, to the extent that they cannot be with their families because the families are going to harangue them and browbeat them, and a lot of people can't get past a lot of that, and they're going to ask them about this.
Well, you say, is your mother going to be there?
Yeah, my mother is going to be here, and we had to talk her into it because she was afraid that I was going to bring up a lot of things, and Ben would too. And Megan was really our intermediary, and I love you, Megan. Thank you very much for really stepping into the breach and telling my mother that we're not going to bring up a lot of these ugly things.
All right, so you've got a mother. I just want to be clear. Your mother would use cigarettes, lit cigarettes, to discipline you. And some of these other women did equally sadistic things, and you're going to host a cruise for them. A lot of people might think they belong in a jail cell.
I feel, again, we are a proactive company, and my feeling and Ben's feeling, we're moving ahead. On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster is not about looking back. It's about looking forward. And we want to take this opportunity to provide a cruise experience for mothers who may be alienated from their children or are tired of being abused themselves now in their older years by these children who are saying, why did you do this? Why did you do that? Oh, really? Well, maybe they don't want to talk about that any longer. And we are here to say, you know, we can facilitate that. And we are here to say, you have a right to some peace and quiet, too.
All right, calling Kristen Brewster is with us. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445. Colin, it's really good to be with you. Can you hang on?
I'd be very happy to, Phil, and thank you again for having us on.
Well, we're really happy to have you on. Calling Kristen Brewster down there at Shrimps in Laguna Beach, talking to us about a cruise that she has on Sunday called the Easy As She Goes Cruise for mothers who might have been abusive toward their children, who might have been alcoholic or had other problems and didn't treat their children well, and really either don't have anywhere to go for Mother's Day or can't be around their kids because their kids are now reminding them of all the stuff they did and they just would like a little peace and quiet. It's called the Easy As She Goes Cruise. We'll be back with Colin Kristen Brewster. Our number 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Henry Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Colleen Kristen Brewster with us in Laguna Beach, California, as we're talking about the cruise that she's got coming up for Sunday. And this is a very unusual cruise, Colleen. It is for mothers who were abusive toward their children. And the behavior that you talked about, you know, where your mother burnt you with a cigarette.
You know, I really think that the reason why we're having this cruise, and my brother Ben has been very instrumental in helping with the organization of this, is because we want to move forward. Both my brother and I were the victims of physical abuse at the hands of my mother, and we also had a father who was disengaged. Our father didn't either see it or he didn't do anything about it, so we had anger issues throughout our lives concerning this, but we felt that one of the ways to begin the healing process is this Easy As She Goes cruise. I know that a lot of the women we're going to have on board our ship on Sunday did some pretty terrible things to their children. We're talking about physical abuse, that some of it might have even bordered on criminality, as I mentioned.
Well, don't you think that...
just to finish up, Phil.
Go ahead.
I know that some of it may have bordered on criminality, and some of it may have been in the form of enabling sexual abuse. But remember this, please, Phil, and your listeners need to remember this, too. That really, On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster is not about anything other than moving forward, looking ahead, and feeling good about what we do and creating good relationships in our lives. While I suffered at the hands of my mother, I also want her to have somewhere to go on Mother's Day.
Well, why can't she just... let me ask you this. I need to interrupt and ask you this. She needs to have somewhere to go on Mother's Day.
Yes, she does.
Okay, well, hold on. Why couldn't she be with you?
Well, she's going to be with us because we're having our cruise, obviously. And
no, but what I'm saying is, why won't you have a nice brunch with her or have a nice day with her?
Because I don't really want to do that. I don't see myself sitting down comfortably one-on-one with my mother and having a so-called nice day with her. This was a woman that held lit cigarettes to my feet and to my brother. This is a woman that wouldn't allow us to go to the bathroom if we were bad. We had to hold it.
Your mother was out and out sadistic.
I don't want to use words like that, Phil. I want to use words. She was troubled. She was herself the victim, I think, of a husband that didn't have time for her. My father worked a lot. He was out of the house a lot. So I don't want to use those words.
So why, again, you just said, though, you don't want to use the word, but you don't want to be with your mother, you know.
Phil, we're getting a little bit sidetracked here. I wanted to come on your program today to talk about On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, and we wanted to talk about the Easy As She Goes cruise, and my brother Ben did, too. I didn't want to be on here going on and on about my mother being sadistic. That's not what our cruise is about.
All right, well, okay, I understand that. This cruise is going to have mothers who can't be with their kids.
That's desperate. They either can't be or they don't want to be because the kids continually harangue them over the past. They bring up these things we're talking about. They want to argue about it. They want to fight about it, or more to the point, they want to just have a moment of pure tension in the house throughout the entire Mother's Day, so that there is no peace. That's not what we're about at On the Go with Colleen, Kristen, Brewster, and I told you that. So what we want to do.
Hold on, because this is getting to the point of. This is getting to the point of what I'm trying to say. You say that these are women that cannot be on, they cannot be with their kids on Mother's Day because of all of this pressure. But you are aware of the pressure, and you have an opportunity to be with your mother on Mother's Day rather than put her on this cruise.
No, well, that's just it. I am aware of the pressure, but I still cannot be with my mother. I can't really, the thought of being with my mother, whether it's Mother's Day or any other day, is not a pleasant thought. And unless we can put her on a ship, on a cruise ship where we have lots of people to interact with, and we have, and my brother Ben is the same way. It would not be comfortable for us to be with our mother on Mother's Day, given what she's done to us, given the scars that she's left, and given some of the really, truly horrible memories that we have of the things that she did. But here we have an opportunity to go out and to work and to make some money, and at the same time, to whatever extent it's possible, honor our mother. It's not a very pleasant thought, but at least we'll be there with other women, other mothers that we can talk with and take our mind off of really the horrible things that our own mother did. But we do want to have our mother on this cruise because we feel it's important to honor her, and we feel it's important that she have this day, Mother's Day. And
all right, but what you're saying here is
but we do feel it's important, Bill.
No, but what you're saying here is it's Mother's Day, and your mother deserves to have this day, but you can't bear the thought of being with her.
Because of the horror that she put us through, yeah. And my brother Ben, too, you know.
Okay, so because your mother put you through this, quote, and you're using the word, I'm not using it, horror, and the sadistic things she did.
Yes, well, I know, but I'm not, it's On the Go with Colleen, Kristen Brewster has called it for a reason. We're proactive. And
no, I know you're proactive, but you can't be that proactive. If you're saying, my mother put me through all kinds of horror, and
Bill, can you hang on for a minute, because we're going to toast. We've got Sherry Bridges here, and Megan Duffy's here, and I want to toast, and we're doing a toast to Megan. This is Megan's 43rd birthday, and I want to toast, and I'm on the radio right now on the Phil Henry Show that is doing across national, all over America, and on the Internet, too, and I want to toast Megan, and we love you, and thank you for helping us put together Easy as She Goes Cruises. Drink up, everyone. Oh, that was fun. All right.
So that was your partner, huh?
Yeah, that's Megan. And so we're going to have to let her go on Monday. I think she's aware of it. I'm not sure. I think Ben's going to tell her.
She's going to be fired.
No, we're going to let her go with the proviso that we'll bring her back. That's not fired. We're laying her off a little bit. We're giving her some. We're giving her notice pay and some severance pay. But getting back to your comment, Bill, the horror and the sadism that my mother put me through will not leave me anytime soon. The physical scars that my mother has left. I walk with a slight limp today. There's a question as to whether I'll be able to have children or not, all because of what my mother did. So it's not that I'm up.
Good Lord.
Well, it's not that I'm not mindful of these things, Bill. It's that Easy as She Goes Cruises is not going to look at them. Easy as She Goes Cruises is going to ignore that, and On the Go with Colleen, Kristen Brewster is going to ignore that, as is my brother Ben, who's an employee.
So you remember this, but your travel agency does not.
My travel agency is here to honor my mother and all of these other mothers.
But what I'm saying is there's a split. It's a very interesting concept, but there seems to be a split here.
Well, we're not civil, Phil. I know what my mother did, but Colleen Kristen Brewster Cruises is more professional. I may not have children, Phil. I've got a scar. I don't want to be graphic, but I have a scar down there. And there's other things that my mother did to me. One leg is shorter than the other one. But I put all of that aside as a member of Colleen Kristen Brewster on the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster.
You have just described to me some horrible, horrible injuries that your mother inflicted on you. and I don't know how you forget them. 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Colleen Kristen Brewster, who's having an easy-as-she-goes cruise for abusive mothers. She figures, let's move forward. Forgiveness is the best thing, even though she has terrible injuries. You heard her saying she may not have, be able to have children as the result of what her mother did to her. And she has a noticeable limp as well as burn scars.
Wow. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. On the line with me, Colleen Kristen Brewster from the Colleen Kristen Brewster Travel Agency. And we're discussing with her her upcoming cruise, which is the Easy As She Goes cruise. This is going to be happening on Sunday. And it will involve an invitation to abusive mothers, really.
And you know, you were asking some pretty good questions, and I think I gave you the tenor of what this cruise is about.
I understand that.
You know, we did not, really, I didn't want to come on your program, Phil, and have the cruise subjected to a kind of a critical scrutiny. I understand that you have a feeling about it, and I certainly do not think that you know, you should be kept from your feelings, but we want to talk about our cruise in a proactive way. Again, keep in mind that both myself and my brother Ben, who works for On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, is one of our cast members. We were both very badly abused by our mother. I will tell you that while Ben does work with the public and works with the public during our cruise, my brother Ben was disfigured by scalding water. So there is a portion of his face that is very badly scarred. We try to keep him, you know, in the background.
Oh, my God. And are you sure your brother is okay with this?
No, my brother is fine with this. And to suggest otherwise, I think, takes it off point. On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster is proactive. And it's about doing things that are going to make people... Can I get another champagne? That are going to make people feel good about their mothers, regardless of the horror, the nightmare, the sort of gothic or even black nightmare that a mother or a father or bad parents can put their kid through.
The horror... You use words... as if this is exactly within your memory.
Again, Phil, I don't want to talk about it, not in the way that you're talking about it. I've given you all the information that you will ever need. My brother is a happy man today. He's going to be working with us on the cruise.
You said that your brother was disfigured by scalding water.
Yes, he was. And if my brother is able to work on this cruise with these abusive women, these women who may have been guilty of... For all I know, they could have been guilty of capital crimes, murder. We're going to do the best we can for these women who don't have a family this Mother's Day.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Oh, I'm having a very difficult time, and I'm sure you can well imagine, Ms. Brewster, celebrating mothers on a Mother's Day cruise that disfigured a son, left a daughter with a limp and a scar where she may not be able to have children. And you may be reminding people of things that they went through.
Well, Mr. Hendry, I'm not reminding them of things of what they went through. You're reminding them by asking these questions. On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster is about, it's about enjoying life. It's about loving life. If you think of the name of our company, it's about love. And for you to suggest otherwise, I think, is disingenuous.
All right, let's go to Herb. Hi, Herb. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Colleen Kristen Brewster. Go ahead.
Phil, I'm very grateful you've taken my phone call. Ms. Brewster, how are you?
I'm doing well, Herb. How are you?
I'm not well, and I'll tell you why I'm not well. I agree with Mr. Hendry. You know, I have to give you a little background on myself.
Well, if this is going to denigrate into a discussion of whether or not we should be having a cruise, I really don't want to talk about it.
You have the courage, miss, to at least listen to me.
Well, I don't...
Do you have the courage to at least listen to me, miss? Because I have held on the phone line here for quite some time. My mother was abusive to me. And if you're talking about a cruise, if you were asking me to go on a cruise...
Why don't you have your mother come on a cruise?
Well, I was going to... If you were going to ask me to go on a cruise with my mother, how do you feel about a man that rapes his own mother?
That is absolutely horrible, and we would never countenance that.
Well, that is what you'd be inviting onto your ship.
Well, that is absolutely horrible, Herb, and I think there's a lot to work through there, obviously, but I think it can be. And I think if you allow yourself to just be mired in all of that negativity, obviously that's going to happen. And
no, this is not about me miring myself in negativity. This is about a man that would gleefully rape his own mother on board your ship. Now, I wonder if the cruise line would have, what would they say?
Are you talking about indemnifying our company or indemnifying the cruise line? Is that what you're saying? Because I'm way ahead of you, Herb. I'm not in business for 12 years.
Oh, you're way ahead of me, are you? So, in other words, what you're saying to me, miss, allow me to just say this. What you're saying to me is the following thing. I'm on the radio right now. I'm on the Phil Hendry show. And by the way, just so you know my background, Phil knows who I am. I was in Atascadero Psychiatric Hospital for 8 years because of child molestation and violence against women. Now, how does that sit with you?
Well, I'm very aware of those crimes. I know that people commit them. It's not going to keep me from having you on my cruise ship or your mama.
And by the way, I don't call her my mama. I call her mother. I don't even get... And what I'm saying is this.
All right, mother.
Yes, but if you don't mind, I call her mother. No one else. You can call her my mother.
All right, my mother.
Are you being smart now?
Okay, let's just move along with this.
I was just making a joke, that's all. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't need your joke. What I'm saying to you is this. If the cruise line knows that you invited on board your cruise ship on this Easy As She Goes, and I have to tell you, I am so warped as a human being. I've been in a psychiatric hospital. I hate my mother because of what she did to me. And when you say you've got a cruise called Easy As She Goes, do you know what I think of?
Oh, let me guess, Vaseline?
You're right, I do. So, in other words, you're well aware...
Are you aware of what it is that could happen on your ship?
No, I'm not well aware of what it is that could happen on my ship. I know what might happen, and on our cruises, Phil, on the go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, you can call it silly, but we like to sprinkle a little bit of fairy dust on everybody that comes on board, so that people have a much more pleasant time. But I know the sickness and the depths of depravity and the darkness that some minds go into. My mind went there for a long time, as I'm sure Herb does.
Yeah, well, okay. Since you're very familiar with when I hear Easy As She Goes, yes, that's what I think of. Now, how do you suppose the cruise line is going to accept all of this information when they find out that I came on board your ship, I might have raped my own mother, and then thrown her overboard, and you knew all about it all along? Do you think you might be sued? A little bit.
Well, just because you're doing impressions from Carlito's Way right now doesn't mean that I'm completely stupid. When you go a little bit, I've seen that movie and I know it's real hardcore gangsta. But what I'm saying to you is simply that...
I'm not trying to be a hardcore gangsta. I am talking about...
Come on, let her finish, will you?
Well,
You were doing a little bit of a smart-ass thing there.
Well, Phil, the only thing I want to say to Herb is this. If you bring your mother on board our boat, I guarantee there won't be any thoughts of those kind in your mind. You will want to enjoy a champagne brunch, and do you know about brunches on the go with Colleen Kristen Brewster?
I know about brunches. I don't know about on the go with Colleen Kristen. I doubt very seriously, Colleen, if we would even be at brunch. I think by that point I would probably have my mother bound and gagged and be dragging her dead body out of the stateroom.
You know what? I don't think so, Herb. I think that when you get on board our ship...
No, I think so. I think so.
And you're not even on board our ship yet. When we sprinkle you with some of the fairy dust of the on-the-go calling Kristen Brewster, and...
But see, first of all, I can tell you, the way you're talking now makes me want to put my hands around someone's throat.
Now, that's the way I'm talking. A lot of men say that to me. The first thing they say when they go out with me is they say, you know, when I talk to you on the phone, I really wanted to strangle the life out of you, but now you're delightful. And I think you'll find me to be very delightful.
Is that right? Well, Phil, I want to say something in all responsibility. You know I'm a criminal. You know I've been in prison. If this woman invites me and Mother on board her ship, Mother, you know Mother.
No, I don't know Mother, but I know that you have had issues.
Had issues? Mother wanted to marry me. Do you understand that? Mother insisted that I take her to my first prom. Mother insisted that she be my first wife. Mother insisted that I, quote-unquote, take a look at him so that I would have something to live for.
All right, I don't need to hear this. God, do you hear what's going on here, Colleen? This is the kind of nightmare that people have lived through. Why would you, with this cruise, why would you want to resurrect this?
Well, we are not resurrecting. I feel very confident. We've had our Easy As She Go cruises before. We had a man who came on board our cruise. This is a man who had serious issues with his own mother. In fact, he had been in a psychiatric hospital because he had dreams. He had dreams, Phil, of killing his mother and dismembering her and feeding her to fish. But Mr. Toomey came on board our cruise with his mother, and it was a wonderful cruise.
Did she say Toomey?
Are you talking about Randall Toomey?
Yeah, I'm talking about Randall too. I know he's in the nut house now.
No, he's not in a nut house. He's out of Tascadero. I know Randall Toomey. He did exactly that to his entire family.
No, I know, but not to his mother.
And but what difference does it? Not to his mother. You know, this woman is just killing me. She's killing me. You're saying...
Colleen, you know this man slaughtered his entire family and used them as bait.
I know, and he caught a record-setting sea bass. I know. We read about it in the newspaper, and I said, I was very upset, obviously, by the crime, but I said every cloud has a silver lining. It doesn't seem like a lot. In fact, it seems rather, almost, as you mentioned, Phil McCall, but to see that trophy fish that he caught, there was something about that that I thought was very in keeping, I think, with the very positive vibrations and the positive feeling of on the go with Colleen Pritzker and Brewster. And hold on, Phil.
No, I'm not holding on. I got to take a break here. Herb?
Well, Phil, if you can hear with this woman, she is distracted. She's having champagne toasts. She doesn't hear me.
Would you really do that?
Do what?
If you went on board that ship?
Are you listening to this woman, Phil? If you're listening to this woman, there's no way I could go on a ship with this woman and not kill Mother. There's no way I could go on a ship with this woman and not kill Mother and throw her overboard. There's no way. So I think that really what this woman is saying is irresponsible in the extreme. And
I got it back. We got another bottle of Moët. I thought they ran out of the Moët Chandon, Phil, but they didn't.
Okay, we're going to take a break.
Thank you, Phil. And Herb, I'm so sorry about Mother or your mother or my mother. And
My mother.
About your mother, but I can guarantee you, if you come on the cruise, you and Mom will enjoy your time together. I can't guarantee that it won't lapse back into that sexual dynamic, but I also...
All right, I got to cut her off. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Colleen Kristen Brewster and the Easy As She Goes tour, whereby abusive mothers are invited on board the ship. That's how they're going to spend their Mother's Day. They might have abused their kids. In Colleen's case, her mother left her with one leg shorter than the other and her brother's face disfigured. But hey, they're having Mom on board their ship on Mother's Day. Wow. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the go with Colleen Kristen Brewster is a travel agency out of California. She is, Colleen is with us, the owner of On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster. Very unusual travel agency from the, at least the standpoint of this Mother's Day cruise. The Easy As She Goes cruise that you are sponsoring, Colleen. And I know in tandem with some of your partners, and you've been talking about, there have been all kinds of very disturbing things here.
Well, if only disturbing to people. You know what I think is interesting, Phil, if I could say?
Go ahead.
I think it's only disturbing to people who are judging. My mother, I'm the one who was subjected to the abuse. My brother Ben was subjected to the abuse, and Megan was. And a lot of our partners and a lot of our frontline partners and our Celebration 2011 and 2012 partners, a lot of them were abused and raped by their parents. And
Did you hear what you just said?
I'm sorry?
Did you hear what you just said? A lot of our Celebration 2012 partners were raped by their parents. These are partners of yours in your cruise business.
That's correct, Phil, but on the go with... You have to understand, on the go with Colleen Kristen Brewster is a proactive. We move forward. We don't look back. My brother Ben was disfigured by scalding water. I have one leg shorter than the other. My mother did a lot of things that were criminal to us, but my mother is going to be on the cruise on Sunday because she knows that... That she alienated her children. This is a chance for her to have a pleasant afternoon and still be with her kids, but not really have to suffer a lot of the judgment.
Well, that's a woman that I think should suffer judgment.
I feel I know, but, you know, I don't really want to go into it anymore. I've got my brother Ben here. Ben probably suffered more than a lot of people, and yet he is still very much a part of... Hi, Ben. Come here, honey. Ben is here, and he's been with us at our celebration here tonight for Megan. Ben, are you looking forward to seeing Mom on Sunday?
I was.
Okay, and hold
on for a minute.
Excuse me, so wait. And when you see Mommy, are you going to be happy? Okay, Phil, that you can see.
What happened to him? Is that Ben, the guy that worked...
What are you laughing at? Ben does a lot of our flyers. Ben does a lot of our artwork. And
what happened to him?
I told you he had scalding water thrown on his face.
And no, but I mean, he can't speak.
Well, he doesn't speak because he's had to wear a mask, and that the doctor explained it's what's called Phantom of the Opera syndrome. And in Phantom of the Opera syndrome, he looks in the mirror and he sees a mask on his face, and he starts to sound like a ghoul. You're not really a ghoul, are you, Ben?
No.
Have him speak up.
No, I'm not really cool. I was just making fun.
See, he was making fun.
Ben, let me talk to you for a minute.
Mr. Henry, what's up?
No. Talk to me with your regular voice.
Yes, sir.
Why do you go,
Well, it's called Phantom of the Opera syndrome. I don't know if you're familiar with it. In which I saw myself in the mirror and I look like ghoulish, you know.
Well, you have a British accent.
Yes, I was raised in Great Britain. I went to boarding school there. That's my father, but my father finally took custody of us when I was in my middle school years.
And was Colleen with you?
Did I give me that back? No, Colleen, I must tell the truth.
No, I wasn't. I was with Mother, and I was abused.
Lying. You know you're lying. Yes, she was abused, but she spent much of...
Ow! Phil...
You are a whore, you know that. I'm telling you.
Colleen Kristen Brewster's a whore.
Oh, my God. I knew it was coming.
Wait, what is going on?
Hold on. Get him. He's throwing out the back way. Get him.
I got him.
You'll never get away with it, Colleen. Never. Yeah, I like this. Yeah, this is my kind of party now, Phil. I got him. Phil, I'll talk to you in a little bit, okay?
Well, what are you doing?
Really, it's none of your concern. Yeah, this is going to be a real good party now.
A cow. He's nothing more than a cow. You'll always be a cow. You'll always be Mommy's little cow. There's nothing you can do.
See what I got here?
What?
Scalding hot water.
Doesn't scare me at all. Doesn't scare me. Go ahead. Disfigure the other side of my face. You think I care? I'm already a monster. A monster.
Oh, boy. Every time he does this.
Every time he does it? You know what? You got real problems. No wonder I haven't talked to you in 10 years.
Oh, Phil, get off your high horse, okay? So... You told everybody the secret about me not having really been abused by Mother, but the fact that I had a sexual relationship with Dad.
I never told him about that, you loudmouth, stupid slut. What a slut!
Wait a second. Were you lying about your mother?
Yes, I was.
But you had a sexual relationship with your father?
Yes.
He married her, Phil. Married her. The filthy cow man.
Get her back on.
Help, I can't.
Get it back. Get them back on. Who am I talking to?
Yes, this is Ben.
Where is Colleen?
Please have her right now, yes.
I'll talk. I have to give a statement to the police. There was never any real danger, Phil. There was never any real danger. Colleen, when she has too much champagne, loves to trot me out. She loves to lift up the mask and show the scarring. And I thought that I would turn the tables on her tonight. I thought I did quite a good job, eh, right?
Well, when you turned the tables on her, you're claiming you told the truth that she was not abused by her mother.
No, she's never abused by her mother. I was abused by her mother, and I was taken by my father. And our mother was committed to an insane asylum. That's what they called it then.
You mean a psychiatric hospital?
No, I refuse to call it that. She was committed to an insane asylum. As far as I know, she's still bouncing off the rubber walls.
Are you going to have her on this cruise?
I wouldn't have that cow on a cruise that I'm on if she was going to leave me an inheritance well into the gazillions. I wouldn't have her around. Now, Colleen is under arrest.
Well, what happened to Colleen as a kid, then? Was she abused by her? She wasn't.
No, not by her mother. Our father sexually abused Colleen, wanted to marry her. All of those things I heard that Anna Chan. What was that chan's name?
Herb Sewell.
Yes, her. It's quite an interesting last year conversation, eh, what? Anyway, I've got to go, son. I've got to go and talk here to the constable about Colleen. What a cow. What a perfect cow.
All right, well, thank you very much.
By the way, I'd like to get one of those shot glasses.
We'll be right back with Vernon Dozier on our Mother's Day doubleheader on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome and good evening, good morning, wherever you are here. The world famous Phil Henry Show is on every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. So we're an overnight thang back east. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could but they can't. How do I know? They tell us on a regular basis. Now, our talk show, if you will, our radio show, our spoken word format show, is one that you really do need to listen to for a couple of weeks because it is not one that you're going to understand. Many people tell you about their shows, gee, give us a couple of weeks, but you really only have to give them like 3 minutes, and if it sucks, it sucks. Our show, if it sucks, it still you have to keep listening.
Yeah, even if it sucks for like a day.
Even if it's a full day, you must keep listening for 3 weeks to get our show. And one of the ways you can get our show is by going to our website, philhenryshow.com, getting a backstage pass, listening to the daily podcast, watch the daily video cast, watch the video cast on demand if you miss it live. And you can anything you miss live, you can get on demand on our website, so it's not a problem. You can also have it as a download if you're too cheap to get it. I mean, if you're not a subscriber, you can get it free by listening to the streaming. We also have thousands of hours of archive, full shows, not partial shows, full radio shows, quality stuff. So hit us up there at philhenryshow.com. The Orange Bowl has just concluded. The Orange Bowl in, I guess, Miami. I'm not saying I guess. I know it's in Miami, but they don't play it at the Orange Bowl anymore. They play it at the stadium there in Broward. It's changed names. Do you know what it is, Robert?
I'll look it up.
I think it's like the Sun Life or the something. Anyway, they just concluded the game, and it was just an absolute annihilation of Clemson by West Virginia, 70-33, 70-0-33. On the line with us this evening from Denver, Colorado, is General Galen Shaw. He is a retired United States military officer and has been on our program on a variety of occasions for a variety of reasons, talking about different topics ranging from the military to higher education. General Shaw also weighed in with us on the Penn State scandal a few weeks back. General Shaw, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, Phil. Thank you.
And my very best to your family.
Can you
tell us, did you watch the game?
We did see the football game this evening, the Orange Bowl, and we tuned in at around halftime, and I noticed the score at the half was well out of hand. It was at that point, I think it was a 30-point difference in the score at the half. And it was at that time that I got on the phone with Dean Juggerson, who operates the much of the press relations for the major colleges when they are doing press releases and so forth. And I said that you have to reintroduce, or someone at the NCAA level needs to reintroduce, the skunk rule.
Now, the skunk rule, as you are, the skunk rule, as I understand it, as you have articulated it, is the game is suspended?
No, the game is in the books.
All right, so the game is in the books if there's a 30-point differential at the half.
If there is a differential between the team that is leading and the team that is behind by 30 points or more, then the game is in the books at the half. What that means is it goes down as a skunk rule game, and the statistics go into the book as a skunk rule game stat. So, in other words, if a quarterback only has a certain number of yards, it still goes into the book with that asterisk, if you will, or what have you.
All right, but in terms of record keeping, that's understandable. But what you're saying is, and it's quite a revolutionary thing, because what you're saying is what happened tonight on in this game was something that you feel now has pushed events to a flood, if you will.
I don't think there's any doubt, Phil, that Clemson was humiliated beyond belief for a modern college football program in a bowl game. In a bowl game, to yield 70 points, you really have to stop and ask yourself, what does this mean to the institution? What does this mean to the school? And what does it really mean for college football? Because we've just undergone a terrible trauma with the Penn State situation, and to have to live through the Penn State situation and then live through this kind of football game, and there will be more, and there have been others like this, further demoralizes the players. I think it demoralizes the football programs in question. It also, I think, eventually demoralizes or discredits the institution itself.
And now, now, let's stop right there. How does this game discredit the institution itself? You're talking about Clemson University.
Well, I think because of the news that we've had concerning Penn State, concerning Syracuse, and these other things that have happened, the snowball effect of all of this is for people to look at Clemson and say, I'm not even going to send my kids to school there because there seems to be a crisis in competency. If you put a football team on the field that yields 70 points, my God, what else is going wrong at that school? And what else could possibly go wrong with the education of my child?
Now, when we talk about these things, we're talking with General Galen Shaw, folks, about the Orange Bowl tonight. It was a rout by West Virginia over Clemson, 70-33. When you talk about the competency of a school being, you know, and you say, well, look at Clemson got blown out in this game by whatever the hell it was, 37 points. Are you stretching the issue here a little bit, or?
Well, I don't understand how you could say stretching the issue, Phil, but we're looking at a football team, and what does that say about West Virginia? That they would run a score up like that. So when you say stretching the point, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, in other words, to say that the football team lost by 37 points, how does that reflect badly on the rest of the institution?
Well, I think it reflects badly on the rest of the institution by making it a laughingstock among the other schools. When trust me, Phil, when a high school senior is considering going to a school to attend a higher education at a four-year university-level program, and they may say, well, I'm considering Clemson, and one of their buddies or another teacher or perhaps a recruiter for another school says, that's the school that got blown out by West Virginia by 37 points, and that young man is going to be faced with people looking him up and down in a curious way, with the question on their faces, what's wrong with you? And I don't think that that is anything that any young person is going to be able to deal with very well.
I don't know the scenario you're talking about. When a kid says, I want to go to Clemson, that's the school that got blown out by 37 points.
Well, that is just one of many scenarios, though, that I'm talking about when it comes to the college programs of this type. And the Skunk Rule is also one that protects the integrity of an institution so that it doesn't look amateur and it doesn't look like, as I think you mentioned during your pre-show, are these schools beginning to look as if they are the Little League, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, I remember I remember as a kid being in Little League games, you know, it was 22 to 21. You know, that was a baseball game, you know?
Well, and it's a very good point. You're making a very good point. This is college football. It is just a rung below the pro game, and they are making themselves look terrible. And Clemson was embarrassed beyond anything that I would ever have expected from a university. And let's face it, Phil, public education is the one thing that the government does right. And so when we allow something to happen, that puts public education on its heels, on the defensive, now we're taking the only thing that government seems to do right, and we are destroying that as well. So I think you need to look at all of these issues.
So what your rule would basically say is that the Skunk Rule would kick in. Excuse me, the Skunk Rule kicks in at the half.
Yes.
And if the team is leading by 30 or more, the game is now in the books. It's a complete game. The other team is not going to be allowed to make that up.
No, when you say they're not going to be allowed to make that up, trust me when I tell you, because I was an administrator at a number of small colleges prior to my getting into the military, and I will tell you that no team that's down by 30 points at the half wants to even set foot on the football field again, let alone...
Well, I don't know that that's true or not. I don't know that that's true.
Well, have you ever played football?
Well, I only played at the high school level, but I know enough about competitive sports, I think, that even if you're down by 30, you know...
Well, no, Phil, I believe me, I've been around football players, and I've been around the college football program. Now, you played high school, but I'm talking about something a little bit more... competitive, and that is the college football. And when these players are being beaten down by 30 points or more, I don't think it is right to send them back out onto the field to the catcalls and to the humiliation that awaits them. I don't think it's moral, and that was the reason, the other reason for the Skunk Rule. In order that these young people are spared the humiliation of going back out onto that field and having to face this football team that has already put a 30-point lead on them, and God knows what else awaits them, while their fans are in the stands now and have turned on them and are subjecting to this kind of mockery. So I think you need to revisit your assumptions on that.
All right, we're talking with General Galen Shaw here this evening on the Phil Hendry Show about the Orange Bowl game that has just ended, a 70-33 win by West Virginia over Clemson. Quite a point differential there, 37 points. And it, when I turned the game on, it was 63-30, I think. And they scored another touchdown with a couple of minutes to go. General Shaw believes a Skunk Rule needs to be invoked, which is if there is a 30-point lead at the half, that's it. The game's in the books. Otherwise, these kinds of games run the risk of discrediting higher education, of humiliating the players, of discrediting the institutions involved, and of eventually ruining the one area of public finance that government does well, public education. 877-876-PHIL is our number. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right
Truth
back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. With me, General Galen Shaw on the phone, talking about a skunk rule that has long been discussed in NC2A football, but has never really been seriously considered as something anybody wanted to implement. Now, tonight in the Rose in the Orange Bowl game, there was a 70-33 blowout by West Virginia over Clemson. And just screening phone calls, General, over the break, there's one gentleman was saying he's from West Virginia, and it's about time West Virginia, you know, got a little comeuppance on other schools.
Well, you know, Phil, I don't disagree with that, but there is no need, in my opinion, to humiliate another institute of higher learning by 70 points. And understand something, please. These young men are going to be going into a world of MBAs. They're going to be going into a world filled with student loans that need to be paid off. They're going to be going into a world of a very high level of competition for high-end occupations and jobs and careers. And they, in other words, are faced with a very daunting and not a very happy prospect as they head out into this environment that's been created for them. And on top of that, we have decided that we're going to force them to endure the beating that this school took and the humiliation and the laughter of being beaten 70-33. I think there's something we need to do for these programs and these young people. The least we can do is say, you don't have to endure more of this. If you want to go back to your dorm room and study, you can do that. If you want to go back... But you, the least we can do is take this weight off of them.
All right. There's an awful lot that you've been saying here, talking about it discredits the institutions, it discredits the other school, and now you're saying that in terms of the heavy competition of the world at large, a 70-33 beating at football is only one more.
It's one more stone laid on a man that you're burying alive. If a student or a football program or a school was a human being, and you were burying it alive, a 70-33 blowout in the Orange Bowl is one more brick you're laying right on top of the lungs of the individual.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to John. John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with General Galen Shaw. Go ahead, please.
Hey, thank you. I was just going to comment that it seems to me like it would not take away from the humiliation to have the skunk rule for those players. Those players would be, I think, even more humiliated when they have to go back to class next week and, you know, account for the fact that their game was caught at halftime. I mean, that would be the ultimate humiliation. And really, I mean, the humiliation was the fact that they didn't show up and play in the first half to begin with. But I don't think a skunk rule would really help because, you know, if your team is down that much, you kind of watch that second half to see, okay, what kind of character do these men have? Are they going to come out and play with some effort in the second half, even if the game's out of hand? You want to see
that's what I mean, right, John? Yes, John, you know something? That's exactly what I mean, though. I know you don't mean any harm by that comment, but that comment there tells me that you must call the game and get those boys onto a bus and out of that area very quickly, because what you said is, I want to see what kind of character they've got. So now what you're doing is you're putting even more pressure on them, and you're putting even more pressure on, so that when they go back to class, and again, we're talking about student loans. We're talking about the world they're going to face, the MBAs they're going to compete with. And now you've put one more rock on top of a man that we're burying alive. To me, I don't think it's the way to go.
Well, let me ask you something. What you said to John said, John expecting them to come out and play like men.
Well, just that comment there, play like men, it's very hurtful. It's very hurtful, and is I think, assuming that they're not even men, that they're what? Female? And I think that is a hurtful thing. So
better to just put them on the bus, as you said, and get them out of the area.
I think so, in the overall. You know, I know that, John,
I still think it's... I just don't think it's going to help.
You're a football fan, and you want to see them go out there and subject themselves to further humiliation. And
hey,
I don't know if that's...
Nobody wants to see that blowout to begin with, unless you're a West Virginia fan. But
Were you a Clemson fan? Were you watching the game, John?
I'm not a Clemson fan, but I'm from North Carolina, so regionally, you know, I would pull for them.
All right, but forcing them to go out and do something, do the impossible, just so that you can feel better, it forces them into a dangerous place, I think, in terms of mental health and their ability to see the coming week through.
All right, John, thank you for your call, sir. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We're talking, if you've just joined us, we're talking about the Orange Bowl blowout of Clemson by West Virginia. It was a 70-33 score, and General Shaw is talking with us about a skunk rule. Call the game at the half and put it in the books as a so-called skunk game, so you have the statistics, the score, but don't continue the game. Because you feel what, General? I know that what you've said, but you're also worried that they're going to run the score up.
Yes, the temptation is to run the score up. If I were the coach of the opposing team, it would be my temptation to run the score up. You see another team lay down like that, and you want to almost teach them a lesson. You want to put as much pain into their lives and as much hurt into their lives as you can, so that they never, ever come onto a football field and disgrace themselves and the game again. But that's if I was the opposing coach. I'm trying to see what's best for everyone. And what's best for those young men is to get them out of that stadium, onto the bus, and clear the area. Clear the area before the second half would begin.
So the skunk rule, he's arguing for, end the game if it's 30 points or more. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Phil Henry Show will be right back.
You understand what I'm saying, right?
Yes, sir, I do.
Good.
Phil Henry. Famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. With me is General Galen Shaw. We're talking about tonight's Orange Bowl game. Did you see the game? If you saw the game, you know it was quite a blowout. It was a 70-33 win by West Virginia over Clemson. General Shaw is a retired United States Army general and has done some work with the NC2A. And a lot of people, not just yourself, General, are in favor of this skunk rule, which would mean the game is called at halftime if it is a 30-point or more score. Give us a little more background. We're going to go to some more phone calls. Give us some more background. You've given us the humiliation angle, that the players are humiliated. You've given us the angle that it's not good for the institution itself. You've given us the angle that, particularly now, with the Penn State scandal...
Well, right there, Phil, if I could interrupt you.
Go ahead.
With the Penn State scandal and the horrible press that higher education, obviously college education, university education received as the result of this Penn State, this horrible Penn State situation. And now, so you have people looking suspect at these athletic programs, and you now have an athletic program that has put players on a football field and has had them so ill-equipped to play the game of football that they've been thoroughly routed, the public's going to ask themselves the very obvious question, what else is going on in that program? Is there the kind of, and I'm not saying that is the case.
Well, you're not going to say that they're asking, is there child molestation going on?
Well, you don't know what people are going to ask, but you don't need to give them the opening to begin to ask questions about what your coaches are doing at 10 o'clock at night. So
isn't that is a pretty Isn't that a bit of a stretch?
Well, Phil, I've learned in my business that you've got to take it to the... you have to look at these things because it more often than not, they come true. And again, I say to you that these are young men who are being pressured by every other kind of thing in life. And now you force them to go out onto a football field in front of their fans and look like utter and complete incompetence and Girl Scouts. And I think it's too much. I think it's too much for them. I think the best thing to do is to get, if the parents are there, they can certainly get the players out of there, but get them out of there. Get them out of there.
Well, these are college players.
I understand that, Phil.
So, I mean, the idea that you got to get the parents there, you know.
Well, they are still underage, many of them. They're still at school because their parents paved the way. And what I'm saying is their parents don't want them to be put out onto a football field so that ABC or ESPN or what have you can laugh at them for another 30 minutes so that a couple of announcers in a booth in a press box can laugh and make dirty jokes.
Well, they're not dirty. Are you talking about the mocking that goes on?
Well, yes, but you're putting these Clemson football players out there so that the announcers in the booth can mock them and laugh at them and call them names and for another 30 minutes of football.
Well, you mentioned a dirty name. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. 877-876-7445. Let me go to a phone call here and see what you folks have to say about the idea of a skunk rule, and that is the game is over. If there is a 30-point lead or more, the game goes into the books as a skunk game, and the team that is down by 30, they lose. The team that's up by 30, they win. That's the end of the game. Here is Josh. Josh, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with General Shaw. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I don't think you really need a skunk rule because, you know what, like your previous caller said, these guys need to go out and play like men. Part of playing like men is be able to lose like men. You know what? But when you go out and play, you got to put everything on the field. That you just don't have what it takes to win. You don't have
what is the point, though? What's the point of if they're
what's
down
the
by
point?
30, why do you want to put them through
a further
meat grinder?
You need to learn how to lose gracefully and go out with your head held high. I mean, you're a retired general.
You should
know that, you know what, whether the mission
sucks
or not, you have to be able to complete that mission.
Well,
you
sir, I've never gotten used to losing myself. But we're not talking about a military campaign. We're talking about college football. Yeah, we're talking about college football. Young people. These are young men that are going
to
have to go into the world and battle for a job. And now you want to kick them while they're down.
Excuse me,
all right, hold on. You guys are talking at the same time. Hold on. You're talking at the same time. Hold on. What did you say, General?
This gentleman wants to kick these men in the face while they're down.
I don't think he said that.
I said that these men need to learn how to see things through to the end. You know, whether they win or lose, they have to know how to do it gracefully, you know?
Well, what does that mean?
You know,
why can't you do it gracefully and only play 30 minutes instead of the full 60? Why can't you do that gracefully?
All you're teaching these guys to do is when life gets too hard, let's just quit. Let's just throw in the towel. It's too hard. We can't do it. And so I'm saying, you know what, let's go out there, let's give them everything we have. So
I could flip that around, and I could say all you're teaching them is to go out and be more amusement for sadists.
You know what, and if that's what you want to twist it into, that's what. You know, I am so sick of this PC freaking world that we live in.
Well,
everyone's got to feel good about everything. This is the kind of crap that we don't need. This is from an overzealous parents think they need to protect their parents by
Why do we have to keep score at that level? Why do you even have to keep score at that level is my question.
Because
what do you mean at that level?
No, these are students. They're not even professionals, and you're forcing these young people to look up at a scoreboard and go, I'm a loser because I didn't win the game.
That's a little ridiculous. Maybe I can understand that in T-ball when the kids are 3 years old, don't keep score. They're learning how to play the game. They're learning how to swing a bat. But at the college level,
they're all adults. They're all 18, if not older.
I don't. Well, they're still in school and they're still learning.
But they, at that time, they are adults. And as adults,
you haven't addressed Mike.
Life gets hard. No matter how hard it gets, you still have to see it through to the end. No matter what.
But you're the guy that's sitting in the stands, having himself another peanut and another Coke, while a man continues to be mangled in front of you.
Overseas general, who, you know what, we rode 12-hour convoys, and then when we got back, we had to turn around and go right back out because that was the job. This is their job.
Yeah, but no one's sitting in a grandstand and waiting for you to get blown up, are they? No, they're not.
What?
What I'm saying is, you want to see these guys go out onto the field and get mangled even more.
So your point, General, is that...
Okay. Giving orders for people to go out and get mangled, okay?
No, I'd never give orders for a man to go out and get him mangled. I give orders for a man to go out and win and come back in one piece.
Exactly. Okay.
And to mangle the other guy. And I don't want to see a guy get mangled up.
All right, we're not talking about getting mangled. We're talking about football. I thank you very much, Josh, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. This is Ron. Ron, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with General Galen Shaw.
Yes, sir. The general is very, very wrong. I went into the court at 17 years old. I gave my all. I did my all, okay? At 18 years old, going to college, is no different from me. I expect him to give his all, okay? Do not quit and play through till the end. All the way to the end, okay? To the end. They don't let me.
But it's different.
I'm down 30 to nothing, okay? I never did it.
Well,
why should he be able to get away with it?
I'll tell you why. Because, and I say this with great respect to you, Ron, but you were nothing more than, you know, just a dog face. Well, you're not a dog face. You're a Marine, right? All right, so you're a jarhead. This guy.
That's right.
This kid is out on a football field, and someday he's going to be at banking.
He's one of the Kennedys, right?
No, sir, no, but he will go into banking and finance, and we must, at all costs, protect him.
Wait a minute.
Wait.
I just want to be clear here.
Are you telling me, let me ask you something. If you have a man who is, this man is, he has been earmarked for greatness as a leader of a banking institution, let's say somebody you respect. I don't know who that would be.
Like the Republican Party? I don't know what you want.
Let's say it's Mitt Romney then, all right? And what you've decided to do is put him out on a football field and kick him between the legs repeatedly. Nice move.
What? This is what I...
What's that?
He learned the
Are
lesson.
You kidding me? He gave all he got, and now he's got his you-know-what has been turned into mash. Great.
Wait. You're not literally saying that. What you're saying is that, first of all, what you did say was that guy is better than a Marine or better than a soldier.
I did not say that.
Yes, you did say that.
We should let him go.
No, I said, I know that you as a Marine, you're going to go in regardless. I could tell you don't go, and you're still going to go because you guys charge hard and you make trouble and you get it done.
The general told the captain told me.
The way I like my Marines, they didn't even pay attention to me. They just went ahead and killed everything they saw. Now,
what the hell kind of a general is that?
Stupid, okay?
I didn't train my Marines to be stupid.
What do you think?
You're not fodder. I want you to go in there
on the field. Well, how's that sound?
No, you can't do that to a young MBA. You have to understand that young man's going to have a master's degree.
Oh yeah, he's going to make millions. Okay, so that makes him better than me.
It doesn't make him better than you. It doesn't make him better than you, but yes, we have to save him.
In your class,
oh, boy. Boy. You got to save him.
Oh, quit making a big deal out of it. I'm not talking about... The guy's not going to die. We got to get him off that football field and get him clear of that stadium. That, as a Marine, you should understand that. If I gave you the job of going into that football stadium and getting that team out of there, you'd do it.
Yes, sir, I would.
Wouldn't you? Okay.
Yes. What is that?
Well, then you agree with me.
No, I agree. Yeah, okay.
Well,
he's better.
You do agree with me.
So he's not expendable.
Well, you just said to me you'd go save him.
Okay, look at these little ridiculous trick questions.
Well, you follow orders. All right, and here's an order. I want you to go in there, get that college boy out of there. If you have to die doing it, thank you.
That's asinine, and it's a that's a fantasy land. Anyway, Ron, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it.
If I
that's true.
Respect an order, then I go to jail.
Well, look, I would never give an order like that, but I'm simply saying a college football player getting his ass beat to the tune of 70-33, we must get him out of there.
Because he's more valuable. All right, thanks very much, Ron, for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. I don't understand that. I don't agree with that. Well, we are talking about something called the skunk rule, which would mean that if a football game is so out of hand at the half that one team leads the other by 30 points or more, that the game would be called, that the losing team would lose officially, that the winning team would win officially, that the records, the statistics would go into the books as a skunk game. And the reason for this, because it's completely unnecessary to put these college football players, these college students, through that kind of humiliation and that kind of depression with all else that they have to deal with. 877-876-PHIL. What do you think? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We haven't talked with General Galen Shaw in a long time, but we're very happy to have you with us, General. And I know that what you're saying is controversial. I know that what you're saying is a point of view that is shared by others, and that is essentially the score is not important anymore. It is the mental health of the player.
Yes, the mental health of, again, Bill, we're talking about college students. I think, though, if you were to look at the pro game, and in a pro game, you saw a team being destroyed. We're talking about not just losing. We're talking about a team being destroyed before your very eyes. That's what happened to Clemson tonight. Before a national television audience, that football team was gutted. It was gutted like a hog and hung on a hook for people to laugh at. And you propose, and some of your callers propose, that we allow the players to go back out onto the field so a couple of broadcasters in a booth can get their laughs, and you and I can sit at home, drink more beer, and laugh at young people who are in school to get that MBA. That's what I can't understand.
Well, the way you portray that, I think, is extreme. I just do. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Rose Marie on the Phil Hendry Show. Rose Marie, go ahead. You're on the air.
I'm sitting here laughing. Okay, I wrote down some points. I've never
Laughing at what, ma'am? You're laughing at what, ma'am?
At some of the remarks that the general was making. I felt...
Well,
I have three sons.
I'm the general.
All played football.
I'm the general.
Okay.
I'm the general.
I'll just say what I was going to say.
Yes.
I have three sons, and they all played football. And I was president of the Lakewood Lumberjacks for 2 years, which is a little kid's football thing. I think a lot of this, and this is a woman's point of view, my point of view. This is a man.
The Lakewood Lumberjacks, I'm not familiar with that. Is that peewee football?
It's a peewee football. There were three stages of them. And this was quite a few years ago. And we had a coach. His name was Rod Landstad. He's dead now. However, he taught those kids to go for it. But he taught them also how to lose. If you're going to have this skunk...
I bet he did.
He really did.
And you know what?
And one of those kids played for, I think it was the University of Washington. A lot of those kids played pro and whatever. But I'm just saying that I think it builds character. They're going to go up there. When they start out, they're going out to win. And even after
halftime. Yes, of course they are. But I ask you this question, ma'am. I ask you this. how does hanging a young man upside down on a hook like he's a gutted hog teach him character?
Oh, come on. Don't be ridiculous. That's not what you're doing literally.
Well, yes, you are. Rosemary has said, go on, kids, go back out there, spread your legs, and let them keep kicking. I don't know.
I don't play football. I've never been in the military. I'm retired. I'm
what
married.
What an asinine thing.
I think,
yes, ma'am?
But I think you're...
Ridiculous.
I don't think that that's what they're doing, going out to kill. But let's back up here. You talk about the announcers...
I think you're saying you kid. Yes, the announcers who are Jewish...
Hold on, everybody, hold on. What do you mean Jewish?
The announcers are
Jewish,
which is, there's nothing, well, no, I did.
Oh. And what has that got to do with anything?
Right.
Well, it's just that there's two Jewish announcers going, ha, 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 look at them gut that hog and hang it upside down.
First of all, how unprofessional.
Good God.
Broadcasters and announcers or whatever, doesn't matter, they need to man up, if we're going to use that term, and be professional. Those kids are playing their hearts out, whether they're 10, 12, or whether they're 24 or 25 or whatever. They're playing. They're not playing to lose. Their coaches are not trying to teach them.
I think they were playing to lose. I think they were. They lost 70-33. At some point,
I don't watch
at some point you want to lose. At some point, you want to get off the field and get as far away from the hell that you've been put through as you can.
And now you're telling me that they wanted to lose, that the Jewish announcers up there in the booth are making fun of them.
I didn't say Jewish people like to make jokes.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So do all ethnic groups.
Not as much as Jewish people.
Hey, what is it with you, okay, General? You know... We're talking about...
A general that's saying this?
I'm a general. I'm simply saying I'm retired. I'm retired, but I'm simply saying there's a great many Jewish players on the field, too, who don't appreciate having jokes made about them by the Jewish announcers. Marv Albert is up there going,
Why don't you just back off with the Jewish comments?
Yeah, please.
Okay, fine. Jesus.
All right, listen, I appreciate your call. I have to move on, Rosemary. I thank you very, very much for your call. Let's go to Brian on the Phil Henry Show. Brian, go ahead.
Yeah.
Phil, if I offended you, I'm sorry.
Wow. Go ahead, Brian.
I don't think that we need to have that skunk rule. For the simple fact that he says he's concerned about the mental health of these kids, the way they're getting beaten, what would that say if the coaches and everybody else is saying at halftime, you don't stand a chance they're coming back?
I think if you get them away from the stadium and get them away from those coaches and give them a chance to just forget that the day even took place, then they can put into perspective what, you know, to use the parlance of the kids these days, what a douchebag their coach is.
I see. So let them get away from the stadium on the bus ride. They can put it all together.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Hold on, Brian, and the rest of you guys. We're talking with General Galen Shaw on the Skunk Rule.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And we've had General Galen Shaw on with us this evening to talk about this blowout in the Orange Bowl. This was the Orange Bowl this evening in South Florida, in which the University of West Virginia defeated Clemson by a score of 70-33. A lot of people have wanted to have a skunk rule for a long time, and I don't know who they are. I don't even know if they're talking about college ball. We did want to bring on Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization to talk a little bit with the general and with you about what the skunk rule is, what it represents, how it can be implemented perhaps at the college level, and how it is implemented at this the level, for instance, of Little League or T-ball. And Ms. Dooley joining us from Western Estates, California. Bobby, how are you?
We're doing really well, Phil. Thank you.
And General Shaw.
Yes, Phil, I'm right here.
Okay. Before we get back with you, General, Bobby, tell me how the skunk rule is used at the level of T-ball, Little League, and so forth?
Well, so we have a T-ball league here in Western States that is comprised of our 8-year-olds on down from 3 years of age to 8 years of age. These are children who obviously are learning the game, who need to understand the rules, and certainly we don't want to subject them to anything that is going to be dangerous for them or is going to be overly strenuous, anything that could harm them at that age. So we do keep score, but only in a very informal way. If another team is, for instance, at bat because they've been hitting the ball a lot, then we decide to end the contest at that point, and we award a trophy to the team that won, but we also allow the other team to share in it. We simply say that we have decided that we've all had a, you know, enough fun. We're going to go and do something else, and we end the game. So,
but you do acknowledge that there's a winner.
We acknowledge that there is a team that wins the trophy, but we also give the other team a trophy. So if there is a winner, we try to blur that as much as we possibly can. Because the point, Phil, for us as mothers and as parents, for those children who are playing T-ball, who are involved in the competitive baseball programs at that level, what we want to do is teach those kids the fun of the sport, the fact that they get to wear the uniforms, the fact that they can have their picture taken with their parents, the fact that they, you know, get to go out onto a field and play. This is what we stress. And I know that when in speaking with the general, a lot of what we've been talking about, obviously, General, you would want to adapt, but not at the you know, the level that we do.
Phil, talking with Ms. Dooley, the philosophy of not emphasizing the scoring as much is one that we've tried to bring to the NC2A for a number of years now. Now, she's right. We would not simplify it as much as they do for the children.
Well, I mean, she's talking about little kids that they don't want them to get hurt. You know, they don't want them to be overly pressured.
But much of what I'm talking about for college players is the same. We don't want the players to be pressured. We don't want the players to be hurt. We don't. So, but it's at a bigger level. So the challenge that we have is to implement a form of the no scoring rule that they have in T-ball and at the smaller levels, to implement that at the college level, so that it is satisfactory to the fans and to the media.
All right. So in other words, a lot of what people have been saying here, and Bobby, I don't know how much of it you were listening to.
Well, you know, we were listening to a lot of it, Phil. And what I heard people saying was that they thought that it didn't teach manhood.
Yes, they were saying that to leave a player out on the field to be humiliated beyond repair teaches manhood. And I will tell you from a personal standpoint, Phil, when I was playing in college, and I played for the University of Colorado back in the 1960s, and I went into the military following a brief career in civilian life. But when I played football, and we were involved in a game against Minnesota, where the score was very lopsided, I think it was it was a shutout at the half, and they had scored 40 points or more. I can tell you that I didn't sleep. It was very difficult to eat. It was very difficult for me to be around people. I had a difficult time doing normal bodily functions, in fact. That was what the effect of that had on me.
Well, now, isn't that... that sounds abnormal.
No, I feel it's not.
What do you mean, no, it's not? You're talking about the T-ball level, of a competition.
No, it is not. It is not. That is a very normal thing. It happens to a lot of players.
You know, if I could just jump in. This happens when I've seen Little League players where they do score, and they do keep score, and they keep score very stringently. And I've seen my own son have a very difficult time after losing a game. Normal. You were talking about bodily functions. Just a normal daily elimination was difficult for them. Keeping their food down was difficult for them. These are very real things. And so in keeping scoring out of competitive sports at that level, we give the kids a chance to live, to breathe, to enjoy sports as something that is a celebration, that involves people, that involves these beautiful uniforms, the interaction of players, and is not necessarily this gladiator performance.
But I think, yes, that was what I was going to say, Phil.
Well, all right. I mean, again, I have to go back to what I said to both of you. The idea that there is a in other words, keeping score somehow affects one's ability to eliminate. It affects one's ability to go to the bathroom. It affects their ability to eat. I think that's abnormal.
It's abnormal if you force young people to play an athletic competition where the score is being kept, you know, and
no, but I mean, even if the score is being kept, even if it's 30-0 or 40-0, for somebody to have to endure a loss like that, they go home and they don't eat and they don't have a bowel movement, you're saying, for days and days and days. I think there's something wrong with that kid beyond the score.
No, Phil, you don't understand, and I know that there are a lot of mothers out there that would agree. When you force a child to endure an athletic competition where they actually keep score, and your child is on the team that has lost by a lot of points, or even a very few, that child is devastated.
And there's very physical ramifications of that.
There are physical ramifications. There are unbelievable physical problems that have to be overcome. And so this is what we're talking about.
You are honestly telling me now, General, that you support this woman's view that keeping score...
And keeping score is, even at the college level, Phil, counterproductive to the athletic... to the well-being of the student.
Keeping score at the college level.
And we saw an example of it tonight.
All right, General Galen Shaw returning with us. Bobby Dooley on the line with us as well from the Western States Parent Teacher Organization. Our number is 877-876-PHIL as we continue talking about this blowout tonight in the Orange Bowl, 70-33. Should there be a skunk rule? Should they even be keeping score anymore in some of these college games? These and other questions up for grabs tonight. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is General Galen Shaw. Bobby Dooley is joined from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And Ms. Dooley, you've entered into this discussion, which I think is it's a worthy discussion. But you've just dropped into the middle of this discussion the rules that you use in T-ball and at the smaller levels, the younger levels of Little League, where they don't keep score.
That's correct. Yes.
All right, but in general, you are considering this. I don't think that this is what we were talking about at the beginning.
Well, no, Phil. We were talking about the blowing out of Clemson by the University of West Virginia. But if this kind of thing is going to be tolerated, yes, we should bring into college football some concept that we don't need to score these games. We need to make sure they're played within the confines of decency, because if you are going to destroy a team and then force them to go out and play another 30 minutes being laughed at...
No comments about the Jewish commentators, please.
Well...
Please.
All right, but they're being laughed at by the commentators, laughed at by the people in the stands. Jokes are being made by the if you see Jay Leno, you know he'll... and they do that. And so if it means getting rid of Skorich, I think it would stand a two-year test at some of the middle levels, perhaps the higher levels, of college sports.
No scoring at all. And what do you think that does to the Bulls, to the sponsorship?
Phil, we are talking about the well-being of our young people, not whether some of these interests, you didn't want the general to mention Jewish interests, but they are involved.
I'm not going to have any discussion at all on this radio show tonight but with either one of you if you bring up Jewish anything. Do you understand?
No, I'm just simply...
I'm not even going to go there, and I don't want you to simply do anything.
This is a free forum.
No, it is not a free forum. I'm the guy that says where people get to go and where they don't get to go with the conversation.
Well, that's fine, Phil. I thought I was on a program that respected free speech.
I echo that.
Yeah, I do respect free speech, not the gratuitous slamming of an ethnic group just because you happen to think they're up in the broadcast booth or they are sponsoring a lot of the bowl games. Let's go to Mick on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Mick.
Yes, sir, Phil. I listen to you every night. But what I've got to say is that playing sports, and I played sports when I was little, builds character, winning and losing. And everybody can't be a winner, and you have to teach kids that when they're little so that they don't grow up thinking, I don't know, it's just ludicrous to me that you would think to play a sport.
What do you mean? You're
going to
go out into the business world, and you're going to lose in the – you're going to go into the business world, and you're going to get – people are going to not give you a contract, or they won't hire you. Are you supposed to sit and expect that is going to happen? No, you won't. I wouldn't accept that. So why accept it when you're playing sports?
No, sir. And when you don't accept that, what do? You stand up, you brush yourself off, and you go back and you go at
exactly.
It a little bit harder the next time, correct?
That's what we're saying, Mick. What we're saying is this. I'm not going to be in any game that tells me I'm a loser. So just get me out of this game. And I'm going to brush myself off and go to a game where I'm a winner.
That's what we're saying.
Huh?
Well, exactly. My kid's always a winner to me, as long as he tries. It's not about the score. It's about playing the game and playing it with
character. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's not about the score.
But
so you agree with us?
No. I agree with the fact.
You do agree that we shouldn't keep score, correct?
Let the man finish.
No, I'm saying you keep score because you've got to have a winner. Otherwise, you're not playing for anything. And if you're not playing for anything, then why bother?
That you brush yourself off, just as you said.
Right.
And you go find a game where they're not going to keep score.
That's what I... Be a winner.
And it's not a game.
And don't involve yourself in any game that would call you a loser.
What is that supposed to mean? That's a lot of feel-good talk.
Hold on for a minute, Phil. What do you mean feel-good talk?
Well, what does that mean? I'm not going to be in any game that's going to call me a loser. I'm going to go find me a game where I'm only a winner. What is that? That means you're quitting everything.
No, you're not allowing people, as the general said, to just use you for kicking practice. Go ahead
like
and spread.
Socialism.
Boom, boom.
I beg your pardon?
It sounds like socialism. It's just like...
Yeah. What is it with you? You know, you people with your socialism, you really... What do you mean socialism?
Well,
you don't even
know... What I mean is that there's no rich people, there's no poor people. You just give everything to everybody?
Yes, there are. There are rich people in socialism.
Playing a game. You don't just... If I go out there playing, you're not playing for anything. You're playing to win. Otherwise, you go out there half-heartedly and don't even try. We're not winners. Why should I try?
I'm not ready to put myself out. I'm not going to put my child out on any field of competition where he's going to have his brains bashed in, and he's going to have to crawl off that field and read in the newspaper the next day that he lost 70-33. I don't think so.
Well, that's what the game's about. Mick, thank you for your call. I mean, that's what the game is. It's unfortunate, I guess. Although for fans, it's fun. What do you want me to say?
So you're saying it's fun to watch a man get mangled on a field of football 70-33.
I don't know if it's fun. I mean, it's amazing sometimes to see how dominant one team can be over another. It can get to be ludicrous. It can get to be humorous. It's what it is.
It's what it is. I love that. It is what it is. You ever hear that?
I've heard that. It is what it is. And I think it sounds so simple-minded.
Bill, to me, you sound like a simple-minded clown.
Whoa, hold the phone here on me being a simple-minded clown. I'm just telling you that is the fact of what we witness in sports. I didn't create this scenario. When you win, you win. When you lose, and the spectator, he'll make his own mind up. Here is Ken on the Phil Henry Show. Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I played sports from my younger years up to like out of high school, and I've got a son that was in band. And he competed.
Turn your radio down. What do you got? What do you got on in the background there? You need to turn that down, Ken.
All right. Is that better?
You've got to turn your radio down.
I'll do it, General. Go ahead, Ken.
I went through sports. My son went through sports. Band competitions, the whole nine yards. Sometimes they won. Sometimes they lose. But they are. It's a good life lesson for a man or a woman to learn how to win and how to lose. Because when you get a job someday, there's going to be expectations, and whether you like it, there's scores in that area too. You either perform well or you don't. It's just
that was my point. That was my point. That these players are going to have to go back and deal with college loans and MBA and getting graduated and rush all the other pressures. Why put them through the pressure of being dragged up and down a football field by a tractor to the tune of a 40-point blowout? Why would you do that?
That's the pressures of life sometimes when you're working for somebody or working for yourself, and it's the way life is sometimes, and it's a good learning lesson right off the get-go. None of my kids are traumatized by losing.
Well, how much did they lose the band competition by?
It doesn't matter. You either win or you
lose. But how much did they lose it by?
Well, how much do you lose a band competition by? It's a band competition. There's no score.
I don't understand.
Either won first place, second place, third place. It's not like a foot. It's just the whole nine yards of winning.
All right. Well, let me ask you. If I was at that band competition and I saw your kids and I started laughing and pointing, that'd be okay with you then, because that would teach them character.
Hold on, Phil.
As a father, I teach my children about ignorant people. So they know those people are ignorant. Until what would you care what an ignorant person says about you, points a laugh at you?
So if I made a joke about your kid playing the tuba, it would be all right?
You're ignorant if you do that. I wouldn't care what you said. I'm above that. So
I would be saying it about your children, though.
Why would you make fun of a kid?
Because exactly. a kid with a tuba's funny. Think about it.
No. All right, thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll be back with more from Bobby and from General Galen Shaw here on scoring or not scoring in athletic competition. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Famous Phil Henry Show.
What they did do, but I didn't do that.
Well, we'll get into all of that. The world famous Phil Henry Show is back here. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And On the line with me is General Galen Shaw. Bobby Dooley from the Western States Parent Teacher Organization has joined us on the subject of whether we should score an athletic competition. This is all based on the Orange Bowl game tonight and the 37-point blowout of the Clemson Tigers at the hands of the West Virginia football team.
You're wrong about that, Phil.
No, I know that there is precedent for talking about this kind of thing, but when you saw that game tonight, wasn't that sort of what spurred our conversation?
It's an example of what many of us have been talking about for a long time, and that is that when you have college sports, any kind of athletic competition among these college teams or these non-professional levels, you're going to see these scores, and the resulting mental health problems, where the player feels demeaned, where the player feels used, where the player feels like he's a piece of meat that has been used and handled, you're going to have problems.
And Bill, we're not saying that you don't keep score. We're saying some kind of moderated score. That's what the general is talking about when we're discussing the skunk rule. The idea that if the score is so out of hand that it is sadistic to have that team go back out there, then you have them leave the stadium.
And that's what I think was going on tonight. There was a level of sadism, a kind of a ghoulishness that I had thought that I hadn't seen the last of in college sports. Not since the days of the where they used to injure players on purpose, where the entire team would get together and discuss how they wanted to break a man's skull in half.
All right. I understand, although I don't know that any of that is afoot here tonight or has been afoot in college sports recently. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to David on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, David. You're on with General Shaw and Bobby Dooley.
Yes, first, this is just getting kind of abstract at the moment, but my original point was that there's nobody forcing these people to get out on the field. Nobody's making these people get out there. They're doing it by their own choice and their own will.
Well, that isn't exactly true. You have to field a football team in order to fulfill the commitment that the schedule makes. There are certain commitments that are made by the television networks and vice versa between the colleges. Once those commitments are in place, you must field a team. And those players, whether they like it or not, whether they even like playing football or not, are going to suit up, and they have to go out onto that field and subject themselves to being mangled, physically mangled, for 60 minutes.
Not true. I did not want to play football. I didn't play football.
Well, what are they going to do if they don't have enough players?
Then they're not going to have a football team. So there's enough people that want to play football. People want to play, so they do play. And people that want to play aren't going to be people that are wussing out saying, oh, we're getting beat too bad. You can't do that.
I don't understand.
Say that again. I would lose my job.
When you get beat 37 points to nothing, there is medical evidence that people go through depression. There is an inability to evacuate the bowels. There's an inability.
What do you mean an inability to evacuate? You're talking about all these physical problems.
These are real, my friend, very real. And that Clemson team tonight, and they're showing. And here's another thing that I want to tell you, Phil, and the gentleman that's on the phone. They are continually showing the game over and over and over again. And they're doing it right now. They're going to show this game again. And the Clemson team will be subjected to the humiliation of seeing themselves raped, figuratively raped, in football terms, over and over again. Now, how would you feel if that was your sister?
Oh, come on.
Okay. Colonel,
if that was your sister being violated on television?
Number one, the definition of rape is when somebody you know, engages in sex with you without you wanting them to.
Mm-hmm.
And this
mm-hmm.
right here, they willingly went out on the football field. Mm-hmm. They wanted to be there. So therefore, it's consensual. It's not
mm-hmm.
rape. And then
I consented to drinking beer with my boyfriend, but I did not consent to drinking beer with six of his friends. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Again, this is getting abstract. Where are you guys going with this?
Yeah.
Drinking beer? This is insane now. You guys are pulling things out of the air that doesn't exist. They knowing they were going to
mm-hmm.
play on a field
mm-hmm.
with 12 other
mm-hmm.
people. They knew they were going to
mm-hmm.
be. There was no question about
mm-hmm.
that. Nobody
mm-hmm.
thought they weren't going to be on the mm-hmm. field with 12 mm-hmm. other people. And they got beat.
Yeah, and they thought that they'd have a fighting chance, and they didn't know they'd be out there and get probed for three quarters. Probed and fondled. That's the point that we're making. And
what are you talking about? They had every bit as much a chance as the other team. They went out there. And their football skills were not up to the task of playing with this other team. The other team was better. All right?
Yes, and I'm saying at the half that became evident. So you say to the Clemson players, okay, we saw what happened to you. It was disgusting. And we'd like to get you out of the area so that we could begin to talk to you about it. But no, what this gentleman wants is to put him back out on the field. And it's almost like seeing a doctor put on a rubber glove and dip his rubber glove in lard. That's what you want.
No, you see, you're.
Well, I'm glad you think it's funny. I'm glad you think that's funny.
I do. I think it's funny.
At halftime, they saw a rubber-gloved hand go into lard.
And what does that mean? In other words, they've got nothing to say about it. They're about to get their asses handed to them. Thank you very much, David, for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. So they had nothing...
What he is saying, Phil, is that the Clemson team came out, they gave it their best, and now it's time to do something else. Thank you. We played the game that you wanted us to play, and it was a lot of fun, and now we don't want to do it anymore. And why are they forced to? I don't...
That is the key right there. Why, if the players have said, and they have spoken, look at what we did. We're down by 37 points. This is about as good as it gets.
Well, I don't think if you ask the players, they're going to say that.
It's not. Look at the score. That's what they're telling you. God.
General,
it's frustrating.
Hold on, General. If you think it's frustrating talking to me, it's doubly frustrating for me to talk to you, I can assure you. Here is Jerome. Go ahead, Jerome. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I just think that the two people that you have on there, this is just completely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
They're pulling things
mm-hmm.
completely out of the air. For one, when
mm-hmm.
the lady stood up there and said, I don't want to see my son get out there and get put in a sport where they can get their brains mangled, your child is more likely to get injured in your own car while you're driving down the street than they would on that football field. The other thing, when the general stood up there and said, hey, you know, I had all these bowel movement issues and all this other stuff went on. The issues that you face far outweigh what you experienced on that football field. Now, one, you don't have any physical medical evidence that says people go into depression. When we played baseball in high school or even in college and we got pummeled by a team, we didn't go into a depression, couldn't have bowel movements and everything. We practiced. We went back out there and said, you know, if we play this team again, we're going to beat them this time. Based on both of you guys' points of view, you might as well eliminate sports altogether. Yes, there are certain things when you're dealing with people like children that are 4 or 5 years old, you know, not keeping score, things of that nature, because you're trying
mm-hmm.
to teach them the game.
Mm-hmm.
Same way you wouldn't
mm-hmm.
put a calculus problem. You wouldn't put a calculus problem in front of a 4 or 5 year old. Because you're gonna break their spirit. But when a person becomes in college, and I believe that's what the whole discussion was about, these college athletes, when they become in college, yes, they should know better than that by now. They're competing in the sport, and if
mm-hmm.
they don't compete at this level, and for the simple fact
mm-hmm.
of somebody, you know, if they get beat 70 to 30, whatever it is, I guarantee if you would have stepped foot in that locker room and asked those players that they want to keep going out, they would have kept going out, because they like to compete. Another thing is that when you sit up there and you're playing those sports, when you're playing those sports, and you enjoy competition. Mm-hmm. There's been times where people have been losing by 30 points and have came back and won the game. So you can't sit up there and be as a
Hold on for a minute, Dow.
Because you're losing.
What game is he talking about?
Well, there's very famous NFL games that the famous one, the Buffalo Bills came back on Houston. I mean,
what do you mean the Buffalo Bills? What is that? What is the? Is that a football team?
Yes, exactly. It's a professional.
This is the other thing I don't understand. I don't understand how you can be a general and sit up there and say something about college football when you went into a war and you killed people. And then say, well, you had bowel movement issues and everything went into depression because you lost a football game, but yet you went into war and you didn't have any bowel movements when you were out there killing somebody in the war.
Well, I can tell you this, young man, when you are a general and you're in the command post in a theater of operation, you are not necessarily involved in the actual up-close killing, as you put it.
You
we don't call it killing. We call it engaging the enemy. Let me just say this. This was before I was in the Army. This was when I was in college. Now, you were a baseball player. It's different. Baseball is a little bit more relaxed. You take your time. But in football, everything is pressure, pressure, pressure. And you get off the football field and suddenly realize that you can't eliminate your bowels because you're tied up tighter than a rope.
When you put somebody in there, and that's it comes out like rocks.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, thank you. Let the gentleman finish.
You should not be playing football. You should not be playing. And no way should a mother be putting their child in any sports if their child is reacting that way. They need to put them in piano lessons or something else that is less stressful to them.
I see. So you're calling me a sissy. Piano lessons.
For one, when I said that, I said, well, you don't, as a mother, you don't put your child in the sport and you feel like their spirit is going to be broken, but you need to put them in piano lessons or something. This lady sat up there and said things like, well, you know, all this stuff. You're being really overprotective as a parent because you're not taking the time to train and nurture your child in a way to where they can become productive if they want to play sports or whatever. But you don't sit up there and pull them out the moment something goes wrong that they don't like.
If you look at the way children react, and the children, and then you say to them, oh, you got a point, oh, they got 2 points, they'll spit up. I've seen them spit up entire, McDonald's?
But you can be seeing a manifestation of other things going on in the home that you're not seeing on that field either. So you're trying to take
What are you trying to say, that there's child molestation going on?
No, he's not saying that.
Verbal abuse at their home.
Mm-hmm.
Where the child
mm-hmm.
perform the way they should be on that field. How to follow the ball to get the phone.
When I played football and I tried to have a bowel movement, it came out like sand. Now, there's something wrong with a human being.
All right, you know what, General? I've had about enough that I can handle with your bowel movements. And listen, Jerome, thank you very much for your call. I got to take a break. Thank you very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with our closing segment here with General Johnson Jameson. General Galen Shaw. Where is General Johnson Jameson these days?
Hey, we get to call up Art Bell.
Call up Art Bell. Where's Art Bell these days?
Philippines.
Where are the Philippines these days?
Southeast Asia.
And where is South? Never mind. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
It's right here on the
Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And with us, General Galen Shaw and Bobby Dooley, as we wind down this discussion of the bowl game tonight. It was Virginia 70. It was Virginia 70, Clemson 33. And as it's really interesting looking at this football game. It's starting all over again. They're replaying it on ESPN. Clemson went out ahead in this game 7-0.
So what?
Well, I just it's just interesting to me. I bet you they were feeling real good. I'm looking at the coach. He's all excited.
Right, and so that's even worse, Phil. The Clemson players felt that they had a chance. They were excited. I'm sure they were high-fiving. I'm sure they were really feeling good. And guess what? And the coach was congratulating them. And I think that's particularly despicable because I think that coach must have had a sense that they had no business even getting off the bus.
I agree.
And that coach probably knew that, threw them into this game knowing that they were going to be destroyed, not only physically, but emotionally. And you talk about someone having a laugh.
The Clemson coach is probably getting a real laugh out of this whole thing tonight.
You must really hate people.
Excuse me?
The two of you must really hate human beings to say what you just say, to say what you just said, that the Clemson coach is getting a big laugh out of this tonight. Let me get over here to Manny. Manny, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley and General Jameson. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good evening, folks. You know, General, yes. Thank you for your service. Bobby, thank you for your contributions to the community. Production issue there, mm-hmm. Phil, is sometimes when Bobby recognizes what somebody's saying, you hear them over the person speaking. To that end...
I'm sorry.
Sometimes Bobby's saying, aha, you know, recognizing what somebody else is saying, and you hear that instead of what the person is saying.
Well, what do you mean production issue?
Saying,
don't tell me how to run the... Don't ever tell me how to run my show.
Yeah, look what you're doing now. You're getting Phil pissed off.
Don't ever talk production this or technical that. Don't do it.
Look at him getting all pissed off now.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Manny, I'm kidding around. Go ahead.
By the way, I was guessing you can't hear it that way on your end. I've had it happen to me before.
What, you're telling me that Ms. Dooley is making noise? Is that what you're saying?
No, she's being wonderful. She's actually, you know, recognizing and acknowledging what somebody's saying, and she's probably sitting there nodding her head going, uh-huh, that's right. And sometimes I hear her instead of what the person is saying. That's all.
I see. Okay, go ahead.
So anyways, to that end, first off, let's recognize that this was one of the big bowl games. I mean, a big bowl. To that end, it was a 2-1 game at the end of the day. To that end, and unusually so, the first team to score didn't happen to win, which, by the way, turns out to be a pretty good football game. Furthermore, as one of the very few civilians that's had to go to war school, along with any officer that's going to make it past 05, the one thing you get crammed into your head really hard is strategy and tactics. And as soon as you sit in that room and you realize you're a football player, you sit there at the wonder of how much of this you already learned on the football field. And the other thing is this. I'm 48 years old. I got a 4-year-old kid who just lights up my life. And the best lessons and the most wonder I've had in life is watching her learn how to fall down, get back up, dust herself off, and go back out there and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that's
here's
beautiful.
My last talking point. To whatever this thing was about what I'm going to call the Jewish question, like I said, my name's Manny, and I have no idea why somebody's faith has anything to do with this discussion. Thanks. I'll listen to you guys on the air.
Well, isn't that... So he dominated, and I still don't know what he was talking about.
He was talking about you mentioning Jewish announcers.
What are you talking... First of all, that guy started out saying about 2-1. I don't know what the hell that was. And then he started to say something about his daughter, which I don't know what she's got to do with it. And
the man was saying, what did you guys talking about the Jewish announcers have to, what has that got to do with anything?
I didn't say anything about Jewish announcers.
No, you said about the Jewish sponsorship.
I just said Jewish people like to make jokes. And
you know, General, when you got into that, I don't know whether you know, but you lost a lot of credibility with a lot of people. I'm just telling you, that happened, okay?
What about me? Did I lose credibility too?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did, with the whole sponsorship thing.
And then what was he talking about with me making noise?
You're going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what did he mean about his daughter lighting up his life?
He loves his daughter.
All right, that's it.
Well, do you have any comment to make on what the guy said?
I don't know what he said. He babbled about something being 2-1. Then he said something about the military, and you learn at 05, he mentioned a year... And
you know what? Thanks for nothing, you guys.
That's dirty pool, Phil. I came on this program to give you my point of view, and I think I did it very well.
All right, fine. Thank you very much.
Are you going to have me back on?
I don't know.
All right, then please lose my phone number. I can only damn a man to hell once, and I think I've already done it with you, but I'm going to take a shot and damn you to hell tonight, so that means go to hell twice.
Thank you very much for that, General.
Well, you asked for it. You got it.
Yeah, we'll be back. God, Phil Hendry Show, next hour, News and Information Hour. Thank you.
Phil Hendry.
Mm-hmm.